You are now listening to Conti Unplugged on Sirius XM Radio, 103.3 The Owl. In here, your sports is served hot. Now, live from the Saber Dominicano Coffee Studio, your host, Frank Conti.
How we doing? I'm so happy to be back on the air. My boy Juan is still with me with another year of great sports talk radio here on Conti's Unplugged. Juan, thank you for joining me. Excuse me. A lot of stuff to go over in the beginning before we get into sports talk. Haven't been on the air for a while. The COVID stuff, studios being down, other shows that are, I guess, a little more important than little old me. So they kind of got first dibs. But we're back. We're back on. We're doing our thing. So, yeah, it's all good. But they put us in a new studio. It's a littler studio one than I'm used to. Like, actually a really small studio. But it's mine. It's actually my personal studio. They're actually wanting to put us on YouTube and, I don't know, there's one other one, the Titch, whatever, or Stitch, whatever it's called. They want to put us on and have us on the radio and video and all that stuff. So they're going to let me personalize this studio. The only thing with this studio that I'm a little upset about with, there is a little construction going on next to the studio. You could probably hear them drilling and stuff because they're adding on another studio for another show. And they have the vent for the AC is not finished in this studio. So you might hear that in the background. And of course, they put all the equipment in last week. They wired everything for the studio and the new mics didn't come in. We have the old ones. You might hear a little echo. It doesn't put out all the sound behind me. So next week, or the week after, I don't know which one it is. And you can't even hear Juan. Juan will be able to talk on the future shows where you'll be able to hear him from the booth. But I can only hear him through the headset. But is it next week or the week after that the mics will get here and be installed? What's one of them? Next week or the week after? So that's a lot of great things. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to talk sports again. Excited for baseball to be starting up. And yes, there will be baseball. We will get into baseball first. We will talk, and I don't want to bore you with the baseball stuff, but, you know, I am the baseball guru guy, especially in this radio station. I am certified by Major League Baseball. I'm actually a baseball media member. I can go to any game I want to, cover them, interview players, everything. We had over thousands and thousands of baseball players live on this show, former Hall of Famers, rookies, number one draft picks, all that stuff on this show. So we have had it all. So with that, but we do talk the major sports. There might be another announcement a couple weeks from now on the show. My brother actually might join me as a co-host, but we're actually really good together. We actually make a really good show. Everybody told us we should be on the show together. I should get my brother involved. You know, we'll change the name of the show, obviously, if he does that. So that's something in the works. That'll be fun to look at. Obviously, when our phones are hooked back up, we'll take callers. We will have baseball players, football players, basketball players, and hockey players all on this show like we had before and all that. But we will talk some baseball in the beginning. What I want to talk about with baseball is the lockout, what the two sides are actually fighting for, where they will stand, what I think will get done and all that stuff, and what I like and what I don't like and what maybe you should like and not like and blah, 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 blah. And then we'll get into a little more. We'll get into football. We'll get into the wild finishes. We'll get into the playoffs. We'll get into the coaching. We'll get into the, you know, a couple of the teams that, even though they look bad, I think have upswing, and some teams that are really good that are going to be a downswings, and so on. And then we'll end the show on a happy note and take it the next week. All right. So with that said, let's get into it. Pay the Bills. You can listen to us on millions and millions and millions of platforms. Maybe not millions, probably like 15, but you know what I mean. We are major on SiriusXM 103.3 The Owl, and we are on Spotify, Anchor, or anywhere else you could get radio stations and podcasting and all that stuff. We are simulcast off those other places. So definitely give us a listen. We have other great shows on this channel. Great show. So, yeah. Besides that, I'm Frank Conti. I'm your host. Like I said, Juan's behind the glass. If you, let's get it going. So, baseball. This is what's going on in baseball. There will be a baseball season. I can almost guarantee that. I can almost guarantee my mortgage payment on that. There will be a baseball game. And as Juan's making fun of me as I'm drinking my coffee. For people that don't know me, I'm a big coffee guy. I'm huge with coffee. With a coffee tattoo and everything. A lot of people haven't seen me in person. That's why they want to put the YouTube and this other thing on here. I'm big on, you know, I have tattoos. I'm big on coffee, big on sports. I love vintage teas. I love coffee shops. I love traveling. A lot of people that do know me know I go to the Dominican Republic a lot. I have a house there. I have my girls there and all that stuff. And I know I go check out a lot of Dominican baseball. That's where the best baseball players in the world come from. They're actually getting very big into basketball. So I do, you know, I'm into things like that. So you will see different things. I will do the show from there. I'll actually be there in March, and I'll be doing a show from there. Juan will be up here simulcasting with me. If my brother's on with me, he'll do it over there. He'll be here in their studio, and I'll be in a studio down in the Dominican Republic that we actually own, that I actually own. And I linked up with the radio station, and so I can do my show. So with that said, there will be a... Juan's making fun of me because I'm drinking coffee. Every time I'm on a show, I always drink coffee. I usually announce what I'm drinking. I think we should go back to that one where I announce what I'm drinking, because you know on the show, like what coffee I'm drinking, if it's ice cold and where it's from and who did it and all that stuff. Today I'm just drinking regular Starbucks. Was rushing to get in here. I was excited about doing a show. They said I didn't have to do a show today because of the mics. I wanted to do it, so don't fault me if the audio doesn't sound as crisp as it usually sounds on this show. But I wanted to do a show. I couldn't take it anymore, so I had to do it. The show, as I said, in a week or two is going to be so much better with the microphones. But I'm drinking a regular Starbucks today, iced coffee. It's a shaken brown sugar oat milk espresso. And it's actually really good. I'm into the oat milk thing. I'm into the vegan thing right now. I'm doing that and feeling good. But yeah, I get coffee sent to me. I obviously, my studio is named after a coffee brand. I love all kinds of coffee. That's one thing when I signed up for the coffee studio thing, that I said that I will talk other coffees because I love coffee and I try all different kinds of coffee. And I try a bunch of different local coffee shops and stuff like that around here and anywhere. When I'm going anywhere else, I do that too. A lot of people said I should do a little coffee show, but I don't. But today, that's what I'm drinking. And back to baseball. We will have a baseball season. It's guaranteed. All right. I could almost guarantee it. And what they're fighting for, if there is a baseball season, if it came down to, hey, we have to agree on all, I think it's six things, or there's no baseball season, I would agree to all six. Because they're not crazy, crazy, crazy things that everybody's asking for. I could see the argument for each and every one of them, for and against. And I could see where some could benefit the others if they actually sat down and had a conversation. Where, hey, yeah, we'll do that for you, but you have to do this for us because it will help us take away from this to that and this and this, you know. But there's nothing really crazy that they're asking for. So I actually would do I would agree on everything if I had to. There's some things I don't like. There's some things I would tweak, and there's some things I would definitely do. And we'll go through them, and you'll know where everything stands and what they're going to be looking for. And you could do your opinions also, and you could send us your opinions. I think there's like a link. It matters what you're listening on. If you're just listening on your radio in your car, or if you're on Sirius XM, there's not much you can do. But if you are listening to any one of those devices that play radio stations and podcasting and all that stuff, you can actually go and you can actually send an email or recording whatever to the show. And next time on the show, we could get to it, or Juan will actually get it now, if that's the case. And going forward. So I would love to hear what you have to say. And I am on all social media platforms. Well, I'm on Instagram and Twitter. And I do have a Snapchat and all that stuff, but you're not going to send me sports stuff on there. My Twitter is at FrankConti13. And I think my Instagram is at FrankConti1313 or something like that. So, yeah. So you could find me on those, and you can hit me up on those. I'd love to find out what you guys think about this. But so we'll start off with the owners. We'll start off with the owners. This is what the owners want. It's two things, very simple. And I'm not in a war room with the owners. You know, I'm not in there. And everybody has to know that Robert Manfred works for the owners. He works for the owners. So I'm not here to tell you what they talk about behind closed doors, because I'm not there, okay? I am a media member for baseball. I get a lot more information than normal, but I'm not totally there where I can tell you that's the only two things they want. They don't want to agree on anything else, that they won't agree on anything else. They just want I don't know that. And that's why there's negotiations. And that's why everybody, you know, meets in the middle. But these are the two things that they definitely want. They're bringing to the table, and they want the players to say, hell yeah, that's what we want too. Well, that's, you know, it is what it is, right? So to me, it's not a lot. And I don't know how I feel about both. I don't know. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about both things they want. It doesn't bother me, and it doesn't not bother me. I like the game the way it is. I like how the National League didn't have a DH, but now I'm more like, I don't care if there's a DH. If you want to put a DH, and that's going to make, you know, and I think it's going to help longevity and picking up players and getting a better bat in your lineup, because now, you know, Nelson Cruz can go anywhere instead of American League teams. It's not 15 teams you go to. It's 30 teams you could go to. Your pitchers could go deeper into games, I guess, and things like that. Whatever it is. But so the owners want to have an extended playoffs, meaning more teams, more games. They make a ton of money in the playoffs. Major League Baseball, TV, stadiums, and everything are triple the amount of money than during the season. Triple. Maybe even quadruple, I don't know. But triple the amount of money. Because it's playoffs. Just how it is. So they want more of that, because during the season, and let's face it though too, like, even if you're a huge baseball fan, football's 16 weeks. I know baseball's probably about the same. You know, I mean, it's 5 months. But they play every day. They literally have like 2 days off a month if they're lucky. So they play almost, you know, you're playing 28 days, 27 days in a month. You're playing 162 games. You're going to not care when the Pirates come into town and, you know, your bottom three pitchers are pitching that week and two players are not playing. You don't care, right? In the playoffs, everything counts. And they want to add, they want to add eight, you know, whatever it is to the playoffs. I don't know if it's six teams on each side or eight teams on each side. They want to add six teams. Okay. It's 40% of the league that's going to make the playoffs. I don't know if you guys want 40% of the league making the playoffs. I don't know if I want 40% of the league making the playoffs. Now, there has been times where teams made the playoffs that probably shouldn't have. Like, there was a year that the Cardinals made the playoffs, the worst team ever to make the playoffs and the World Series, and won it. That was the year that the Mets, where they were playing the Mets, and Andy Chavez made that catch, and they ended up going anyway, and they won the World Series. And the Astros were a really bad team one year, and I think they went to the World Series. I think it was, you know, so I mean, there has been years where the teams get hot at the right time and they make the playoffs, and it could happen, and it could be more exciting because your team will be in it and more teams will be in it to the end. I think that happened in the COVID year, not last year, but the COVID year. It kind of, like, you know, teams went down to the nitty gritty, you know, like it was like a lot of teams fighting for the end, and that might be exciting for baseball. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I really don't care if it happens or if it does. It's not, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you could literally just whatever, like, you know, whatever with that. But I do think that it's such a long season. You have injuries. You might bring up some young players that spot plug or make a trade, and that guy finally gets adapted to the team, and the team starts winning, and they were supposed to be a good team, but they never got off on the right start. Now they're really good, and now they'll sneak into the playoffs and be something to reckon with because of you're letting more teams in. I understand, whatever. The other thing they want is, because of the extended, they're going to cut the season by 8 games. Yeah, folks, I said it, 8 games. Like, who cares? 154 games to 162. Who really cares? Like, that, are you really going to lose sleep that you're missing 8 regular season games? So if your team doesn't make the playoffs, you miss 8 games, and probably 4 of those, the tops will be at home. Now, if you, I don't think they'll make it where 4 of them are at home and 4 of them are away, obviously. They wouldn't take 8 home games away from a team. It's usually 82 games. 82 games at home, 82 games on the road, and that's usually how they do it. So if they're dropping 8 games, they'll drop 4 at home and 4 away. So, big deal. 4 games you can't go to. If you're not making the playoffs and there's an extended playoff bracket, your team stinks. Okay, so end of story, right, at that point? I'm not really, whatever. You want the extended because you want to make more money. I understand this is a business and you're in the business of making money. I totally agree. And if you want to drop 8 games, big deal. You could drop 20 games for all I care. There's going to be the same amount of games played by the end of the season. By the end of the season, there's the same amount of games played. With 162 in the lesser of the playoffs, more of the playoffs. You know, so you're going to get the same amount of games. Your team might not. But the season will get the same amount of games. So, with that said, whatever. They said if they agree on this, they'll automatically sign off on the Universal DH. Universal DH. Sorry, that was an email that just came in. Huh? Well, yeah. Was that a caller? Listener? Oh, we'll get to that later. So, I don't. The Universal DH, like I said, I if it never happens, whatever. If it does, great. And I think the Mets, being that I'm a Met fan, people that don't know me, I'm a Met, Jet, Islander, and Heat fan. So, you know, and for the Dominican Republic League, I'm Aguilar. So, just so you know, that's me, okay? I think that as a Met fan, we could really benefit from the DH. There's other teams that can't, whatever, and so on. But I'm all for whatever. If they vote yes on all these, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and not be upset. I'm going to go to bed and not be upset. If they vote no for all these, I'm going to go to bed not upset. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow not upset. End the story. Now what the players want. Okay? The players want 4 things. And I totally agree with the players too. But I also could understand where the owners are coming from with the players. One of them, I 110% agree with, and it's the one we'll talk about first. And I think they need to do this, and I think it will be good for the sport, and then it will help out the players where the next time we have to sit down and have these conversations, it won't hurt as much because everybody's, you know, making the money, you know? So, what people don't understand is there's no salary cap in baseball. There's a luxury tax, meaning if you have a lot of money, the luxury, that's a luxury to have money, but we're also going to tax you for having luxury of money. And we're going to give that tax. Major League Baseball ain't going to take the tax and put it, oh, we'll put it in our pocket like the government does. They give it to the teams that don't have money so they could be more competitive. Now, that works when you spend the money. But for an example, the Pittsburgh Pirates was probably one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, in baseball last year. They had a payroll of $50 million, and they got $78 million, $79 million, or $75 million from Major League Baseball. So, if you're not good at math, I'll do that math for you. They had about $25 million in their pocket. I think they spent $58 million, and it was $72 or $3 million or something. So, let's just see. We'll just call it even so we don't hurt anybody's feelings. They made $15 million in their pocket. So before the season started, with their payroll, they put $15 million in their pocket. 15. So the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates put $15 million into his bank account after pay, and he doesn't have to worry about paying, because the other $58 million he got went to the players. That was his payroll. Payroll, and I mean, that's coaches, that's everything. And a list, that's a whole nine, right? So now his stadium run on its own, because you're going to pay for parking, you're going to pay for food, you're going to pay for the tickets, you're going to pay for all that. So now, boom. So let's say he broke even in that aspect. And then he has TV rights, right? TV rights. So he's making, I don't know, $55 million off of TV for the games. He gets 25 to Major League Baseball. He keeps 25, you know, whatever, maybe $15 million to pay off whatever, and then he kicks the other 10 to himself. So he's walking away with $25 million in his pocket and didn't have to put any, and didn't have to do anything, right? After paying his taxes to Major League Baseball, after paying everything that worked for the stadium, and so on, he didn't have to put a winning product out there at all. You don't win baseball games with a $58 million payroll. I don't care what type of young talent you have, you will not win baseball games with a $58 million payroll. I think the Marlins were the closest to coming to a playoff team, and they had a $72 million payroll. Well, so I don't know what the players are asking for. They want a floor. They want a floor of, if you're getting $75 million, you have to spend $75 million. And I totally agree with that. Now, I think you should make it even better. If I was at the table, I'd be like, no. If I was an arbitrator, I'd be like, no. If every team is getting $75 million, you have to spend $85 million. That's the floor. Because $75 million is, yeah, I guess the Marlins did it with 72. They almost did it with a 70, you know, two, whatever. I think the Rays did it with an $80 million payroll or something like that, or 83, whatever it was. And yeah, you can, but no. I want the owner to spend $10 million of his own money, because you should be spending your own money for your product to be better. Right? Like when people open a restaurant, you spend your own money to get the restaurant to where it needs to be. And people open a clothing store, you spend the money to decorate, make the, whatever it is, you spend your own money to get the product right. And if an owner is just putting in what they're getting from other teams, and they're breaking even on that aspect, and then their stadium's breaking even, and then they're making money off TV rights, $25 million, why go higher than $75 million payroll? Make them spend $10 million of their own money, and guess what happens? I got to make that $10 million back. Plus, I would like to have a profit. So now my payroll has to be $10 million more. And an $85 million payroll is not bad. You could win games and be a playoff contender or a playoff team with an $85 million payroll. You're not going to. You know, there's other teams that are going to be sexier than you, like the Mets, the Dodgers, you know, and the Yankees and so on, Blue Jays, Angels. But you will build, if you build your farm system right, add a couple of pieces around your players and get $85 million payroll, you will be where competitive. And that's what we want. We don't want these teams losing 112 games a season. Like, Detroit wants to be competitive. They just didn't have the players. But it shows you that they went out and they spent money. Javi Baez, all these, they're trying to sign all these people, but who wants to play in Detroit? Nothing against Detroit. I'm not, but I mean, like, if the Mets are offering you a contract and Detroit's offering you a contract, where are you going? Like, seriously, New York, Detroit. Like, you have to build the winner before you could get people to decide over you over other places. Like, if the Marlins offered and Detroit offered you a contract, where are you playing? You playing in Miami, you playing in Detroit? I hate to tell you, I'm playing in Miami. Not that I live here now, but it just makes sense, right? Let's be honest with each other. So that's the thing. So it stops teams from being like, I'm not going to spend money. I have a $50 million payroll, bank money, and I'll keep getting the money every year because I suck. And I'll get a ton of good draft picks because I'm usually picking first or second. And eventually my team will make like a little run and everybody will be like, oh, well, he knows what he's doing. He wasn't doing this to tank. He was doing it to get players. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Stop with all that. So I agree with that one. I totally agree with that one. That's one that I think everybody should sign up for. And again, the owners are in the room and the Pirates owner's there. He's going to sign off on that? I mean, if he went outside of a smoke break, I don't know if he smokes, I'm just saying, and they said, yeah, we have to sign off on this one. Screw him. Because, I mean, Cohen doesn't care. You think Cohen cares about a floor? You think Steinbrenner cares about a floor? You think the Blue Jays and the Angels and the and those teams that's, and the Dodgers care about a floor? No. They'll sign up. That would have been, if it was up to them, that would have been signed off on already. They don't care. They're never going to have an $85 million payroll. Never. They're never going to have an $80 million payroll, a $70 million, never. I mean, it's like a $265 million payroll. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the luxury tax was $190 or $200. And the Mets went over that by $1 million or $2 million. I think another team went over that by like $6 million, I think. The Dodgers went over that by like 12 or 13 or 14 million. You think they $200 million payroll, you need to worry about an $85 million payroll? They would have signed off on that already. The other thing that the players want, they want not manipulating time. Okay? Where basically try to fix the structure of when they bring players up. Like, oh, if you play, you bring them up in July, you know, whatever you bring, they're still considered no service time that year. Stop with that crap. And I agree with that also. You bring a player up and he plays in a certain amount of games, that's it. He plays in, I don't know what it is. If you're eligible to win awards, you're eligible for that season, I guess, right? Like, if you're eligible to be a rookie of the year, and you're not rookie status anymore, you know, you're not going to be a rookie the next year because you didn't play enough games, your time should be not being manipulated either. Right? Because I think if you come up in May, it was in May or June or something, you're not, you don't have, your clock still doesn't start. You could be, you know, next year you could be in the minors again, still not start. They could bring you up every May and you won't, you know, I think for 3 years or something like that, and then you become whatever. But if you can win awards and you have a certain amount of bats or whatever, a certain amount of games played, that's it. I'm done. You're started. If you play two games, no. But if you play like 15, 20 games and you have like 200 and something, I don't know, whatever it is, I don't know, you have like 670 bats, whatever, you deserve to be. That's it. Then maybe do something like that. Or get rid of it totally. You bring a guy up and he plays one game. I don't know if one game counts. Like you call him up and plays one game and the season's over and he's not going to be a rookie no more. That doesn't help him because next year he comes out and he has, because then there'll be complaints about that, because the next year he comes out and he has a rookie of the year candidate. You know, he's a rookie of the year type player. He would have won the rookie of the year, but because he played one game last year, he's not a rookie anymore. So I guess they got to come up with something to where he could win. If he's good enough, he wins the awards, but also he gets his time filled, where it's not if you bring him up at this month, you know, he doesn't do his time. Plus, they also want not 6 years to be a free agent. I think they want 4 years or something like that. And I agree with this also. Like I say, like, I will sleep. If they don't agree on this, I will sleep. If they do agree on this, I will sleep fine too. Because if you're 24 years old, because remember, you drafted at 20. If you're a regular, if you're not a Dominican, Cuban, Colombian, Venezuelan, all that stuff, which Saturday is the international prospect signing day and draft day and stuff like that. So that's really a big one. There'll be a lot of Dominicans in that. You know that. So, but with that said, you have those guys are like 16, 17, whatever it is, 18, 19 years old. In 4 years, it means nothing to them. But when you're going to regular college and you're not getting drafted out of high school, and you get called up at 24 years old, you're not a free agent until 30. And 36 is like the threshold for baseball. After 36, you're a day-to-day, unless you're a superstar. You're a year-to-year, not day-to-day. So that means like so you're getting a six-year deal at a 30-year-old, unless you're a superstar, you might get 8 years and maybe get 10 just because they know the first 6 years are going to be so great, they don't care about the last four. So now if you're a 24-year-old and you can be a free agent in 4 years, you're 28 years old, it makes a big difference because you're considered in your prime. Now you can get a 10-year deal and still be a 38-year-old and only 2 years over that 36-year-old threshold. And I'm telling you, there is a threshold. 36 is like it, especially if it's not a pitcher. You look at it 36 years old, if it's not, you know, and you're like, hey, man, you know, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. With the DH, that helps out a lot, universal DH, because if you're a really pure hitter, like Judge, he'll be able to sign that at 30, be able to sign that 8-year deal, because the last 2 years he could DH if he can't play the outfield. You know what I'm trying to say? But I agree on that, too, because it's not fair. You're getting called up at 24 years old, you're screwed. You're not making money in the first 3 years. I mean, Judge last year made $500,000. He made $500,000. He was an MVP candidate. Best player on the Yankees. And what? A playoff team. And what? Nothing. Nothing. He got nothing out of that. So you tell me, you know, he has what, another year? He's arbitrated this year or whatever, and the next year, and he's a free agent. So the kid's going to be, you know, he's going to be old. Unless you're a superstar like Fernandez that came up at 20 or someone else at 21, you're going to be a free agent closer to 30. And if you lower that a little, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Now, if the owners say, okay, now I got to spend more money on my really good prospects because they're going to be arbitrary. They're going to go 4 years instead of 6 years. Okay? I don't think 2 years is a big deal if you have money. You know, like the Mets, Yankees, all those things. And if they sign off on you making more money because of the playoffs, then I think it's a whitewash, right? And you should be signing your young studs earlier. Like Tatis signed earlier. So, you know, you should be trying. Like, if you're not Tatis and those other guys that you signed them 2 years in, 3 years in, you know, you should be trying to sign you guys. The two-year difference doesn't, you know, that's arbitration anyway. So what I don't understand is, do the 3 years. The 3 years where you make the rookie contract, you make the minimum wage, like right now it's $500,000. I think the first year is like four and change, and then it's five and five, or almost five, and then into five, like, or five and a little bit above five, whatever it is. Every year it goes up a little, but you're making like in the $500,000 your third year. So you make 3 years, you use this guy up, and then you should be able to sign him. Because the arbitration years, if he's a superstar, he's making superstar money. So let's say Aaron Judge, you know, let's use him as an example, he made $500,000. Next year, now he's in arbitration, you want to lock him up because he's going to make whatever right fielders or whatever outfielders are making. So if they're making 30, you know, $22 million, he's making. He has to be in the top. You know, he could ask for $22 million. He could say, hey, I want $17 million, right? And Aaron Judge is probably going to get $17 million on the, you know, from an arbitrator. He was an MVP candidate. Peter Alonso, you know, same thing with him. He's going to say, hey, I want, you know, $16 million. Why not lock up Peter Alonso at $20 million a year now and just have him? And you don't have to worry about him going to free agency or losing him. You know, so just cut the arbitrations out. Say it's 3 years or add a year of whatever and then free agents. So there's no arbitration. Like, you know, the first year you're making, you know, $400,000. Your second year you're making $500,000. The third year you're making, you know, $600,000. And then the fourth year you're making, you know, $2 million. Or you could do $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million and two, right? Whatever it is. So the players start making their money, and then you turn around and they're free agents after 4 years. And just cut out the arbitration. They could do something like that. And why not? You don't want to go and arbitrate. Now, if the player is not good, well, he's an average player. Arbitration helps you out because you get him for $6 million instead of $8 million. But, I mean, just pay him. If he's somebody you want to keep on the team and you're not going to trade him before arbitration or cut him before arbitration because you can cut him, then you're going to pay him. You're willing to pay him $6 million. Sign him for $7 million a year for 3 years. And get out of that. And then you don't have to arbitrate the next 3 years. And that's literally the middle of what, if he would have got six, so he wanted eight, you wanted to give him six, give him seven, because that's mostly what the arbitration is going to do anyway. So I don't think that that's a big deal either. I think they could come up with some kind of agreement. Like I just said, maybe cut out the arbitrations, maybe add an extra year of you have control over them, and then there was no arbitrations, it's straight to free agency. Come up with something and get this done. And get this done. So those are like the four major things that they really want to talk about. You know, obviously, they want universal DH because it helps out some of the players that are just can't play defense anymore to be able to go anywhere. And then, you know, they want, it's not like both sides are asking for the world. This is not, hey, I want, and it's not 17 things that each side wants. And if you don't agree on 15 of them each, they're not going to have a season. It's not that anymore. It's literally four or five things that they want. Those are the major things. There might be some little sprinkles of cinnamon or something in there that they're asking for that really means nothing. And I really think it's going to get done sooner than later. There'll be no doubt in my mind that by the end of January, that this will be signed off on, or February will be in. The first week or second week of February, there'll be a straight up spring training. Spring training might be a little shorter, and who cares anyway? I mean, who really cares about 20 spring training games? Like, do you really give a crap? Because I don't. And these guys are working out and doing their thing anyway. But I will tell you, once they sign off and they open up for business again, there's going to be free agent frenzy like crazy. You're going to love what you see. I mean, it's going to be amazing. When it opens back up, all these big time players are going to sign. It's going to be great. You have Saturday, you have the international draft and all that. It's going to be, I can't wait. I love baseball. I'm a baseball homer. I'm not going to lie. I do. I'm not going to, sit there and go, baseball. And I know some people don't like baseball, but that's my thing. And it's going to be a fun year being a Met fan too. You know, being a Met fan and seeing what they're doing, and a Jet fan also, like seeing what they're doing. I'm excited. I'm excited about sports and for my teams again. The Heat look great. The Islanders are, they had a weird year this year. They didn't have a home game for a while because the stadium wasn't done. Next year, they're going to have that home. They'll be back. They'll bring in some players and stuff. And the Islanders will be right back to championship form again. So I'm actually really excited about my sport teams. I don't know about yours, but yeah. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I know Juan's a Marlins fan. They're looking pretty good. They're looking like they want to spend some money. They're going to do some things when it's over. I know you're a Dolphins fan. We'll get into that when we talk about football. Good luck with that. And I know you're a Heat fan also, yeah, which is a good thing. And you're a Panthers fan, which they're not bad either. You're okay. I mean, the Dolphins are going in the right direction for the crap they pulled a day ago. But anyway, that's baseball in a nutshell. That's what they're kind of sitting down going over, and that's what they're fighting about, wanting to take care of. And I think it'll get done. Like you could see that this is not major. I mean, will it benefit the teams? Like, I don't know. Like, if you're a team that's in the middle of the road, I don't know if that benefits you. If you're a team at the sort of the ladder of the road, like the Angels and stuff like that, it helps if a player is a free agent younger, right? If that team doesn't sign him long-term before then, and he hits the open market, and he's 26 years old instead of 30, he's 26 years old instead of 28, he's 26 year old instead of 29, that's a way different. You're getting this guy right when he's starting his prime. That's exciting to me, though, isn't it? Can't you look at the glass half full, too, Juan? Like, yeah, you might be losing a player because you needed those 3 years because you had two other guys that are going to be free agents also that mean more to you, so you lose a player. But also the next year you could get that play another player from another team that becomes a free agent in his prime in a position that you need, right? So you might look at losing something, but you could also gain something a year or two later. And it might be a better piece. It might end up being a better piece at a better price. So don't always knock things. Let's try it out. And for the sake of the sport, because it will be bad for a baseball lockage, again, let's get it done. Because it's not major stuff. It's not. Not at all. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk some football, NFL.
You are now listening to Conte Unplugged on Cyrus XM Radio, 103.3 The Owl. In here, your sports is served hot. Now, live from the Sabre Dominicano Coffee Studio, your host, Frank Conti.
Okay, football. It's playoff time. You know, it's the second happiest time of the year, I guess, right? Christmas, the holidays, and then football, playoffs. If your team's in it. I mean, if you're a team that never goes in it, then I guess it's never the happier time for you. But so much happened yesterday. Like, some weird things happened. Some good things happened. Like, I don't even know, like where to start. But I'll tell you one of the things that I know where to start at. But first of all, Sunday there was weird things that happened. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, I mean, it's crazy crap, right? Like, the Dolphins firing their head coach was weird to me. It was. It was weird to me. Like, I feel like the Dolphins don't know what they're doing. You know? Like, I really do. I it blows my mind. They just won 8 of their last 9 games. They just beat the Patriots for the second time this year. I mean, who beats Belichick twice in a year? Like, who? I don't even think the Bills beat the Belichick twice this year. The Jets didn't. I think he's 3-1 against Belichick, isn't he? Or is he 4-0 against Belichick? Can you check that one? He's like 3-1 against the Patriots. I mean, worst case scenario, he's 3-1 against. I think he might be 4-0 because of the last 2 years. I mean, he had 2 winning seasons back to back, and they fire you. Because you don't get along with the GM. Their GM isn't great anyway. Like, Chris Greer, like, he's a good GM. Is he a good GM? Well, I don't really follow the Dolphins like you do. I mean, I talk sports. I watch the games. I know what's going on. But I don't know Chris Greer. I mean, is he blowing the doors off? I mean, he drafted Tua over Herbert. I mean, how do you keep a job after? Imagine Justin Herbert as the Dolphins quarterback right now. What they would have done, they would have been better than the Bills. They would have been better than the Bills. They would be the best team in the division. And their quarterback's young. They have a pretty good defense. They have their offense isn't bad. They could have got anybody that wanted to go there. You're in Miami. Okay. You're an historical franchise, no less. Right? You know, I mean, they've been around. They're one of the longevity teams. You could get Devontae Adams and sign there with Herbert as their, you know, I'm playing in Miami. I'm in Miami, you know, like, I mean, why not? Like, all those guys, you know, you get that one wide receiver, it's all over. And they have Waddle and Parker and stuff. I hate to say it, they have a good running game, their tight end's good. Like, damn. Their offensive line's not bad. They have plenty of draft picks. Imagine having Herbert. Imagine that. Now you have someone, Tua. He's not driving the market for a free. Oh, yeah, I'm on the wide receiver. I'm going to go to Miami. Tua's the man. I mean, he's not bad. I mean, they had 2 winning seasons, right? I mean, Fitzpatrick helped a little bit out. But, I mean, is Tua worse than Mac Jones? I mean, Mac Jones has put up some numbers, but he's in the perfect system. Mac Jones went to the perfect system, right? I mean, like, he just fell into, like, the perfect situation. Like, you couldn't plan a better situation than Mac Jones going to New England. But, I mean, is he that much better? Like, how many times did Mac Jones throw over 15 yards this year? How many times did Mac Jones throw over 30 times this year? Can you look that up, Juan? Because I don't think he has that many. I mean, he obviously has, but you know what I mean. But how many times has Tua thrown over 15 yards? How many times has Tua thrown over 40 times a game? Like, that's the difference. Like, there was one time Mac Jones threw the ball 14 times in one game, and they won that game. Like, that's sick to me. Sick. That tells you how bad Cam Newton was. Because he couldn't do it in that system. And then he benched for Sam Darnold. I mean, come on. We all know about... So, I don't know what the Dolphins are doing over there. I don't know. I don't think the GM... I mean, the GM doesn't... The GM gets players and puts it on the... He gets players to come here. Now, besides the draft, free agent-wise, you need a wide receiver. You go out. All right, the wide receivers are making this much money. He's this bracket of a wide receiver. This is how much they normally make. This is what I'm comfortable giving. This is what I want to give you for how many years. Will you play for the Miami Dolphins? Yes, no. And he says, yeah, okay. He comes over. And everybody says, oh, it's a good sign. Hey, he's a good wide receiver. And then he gets hurt a million times. He doesn't play or he doesn't perform. It's really not the GM's fault for the first year, 2 years, whatever. But it's a no-brainer. The draft is different. There's some no-brainers in the draft. Like, this is a safe pick. This is a really upside pick, but it could have a downside. This is, don't make that pick. I can't believe you did that pick type of thing. But really, what is the coach has to come up with the game plan, the coaching strategy, puts the people in the positions to win, call the right plays on the field and all that stuff, put the right rotations in, and he did that with whatever players this guy's given him. And what did you do? You fired him. And I said one, didn't I say this 2 days ago when we started talking because we're coming back on the show? I said this, that I said that, not 2 days ago, I said yesterday, sorry. Yesterday was Monday. That the Bears would be the perfect position for him. And now he's interviewing the Bears. If the Bears were smart, they would sign him. He's perfect culture for the Bears. That's Mike Ditka, part two. And I think it'd be good for the Broncos also. I think those two teams fit him to a T. They really do. Now, I think he should go to the Bears. Now, you're going to see some coaching guys. You're going to see some guys get some jobs. I think this year is going to look really good with coaching. The Bears firing their head coach. You got the Vikings might be a good job. I don't know. There's a lot of tough contracts with the Vikings right now. They got a quarterback they're locked into that I'm not too sold on, but whatever. And then you have the Broncos, which I think are a quarterback away from damage. And if the Broncos were smart, if you're a Broncos fan, you're listening to this, I'm going to make you get happy. Because I think Locke is a pretty good quarterback. I think that if he sat behind an Aaron Rodgers, if he sat behind a Russell Wilson, if he sat behind a somebody like that, he would be legit. Matt Ryan, he would be legit, right? I think if you keep Locke as a backup and get a Russell Wilson here, which the Seahawks are saying they're not trading, so that's tough. But if you could get something like that and he can learn from him and you're going to be competitive, when he starts, and because he's still young, so after 3 years he starts again or 2 years, you're ready. No, you're good. Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, they're a quarterback away from making noise. The Broncos have a very good defense. They got a pretty damn good team. They're a quarterback away. And they looked really really good with a mediocre quarterback. And a kid that didn't deserve to start right now. He should have been back for a little bit and so on. Now, we don't know what's going on with Watson. You don't know what the deal is with that. You don't know what, there's a couple of guys that get, like Mariota could really, Jameis Winston is going to, if he's healthy. I mean, there's a couple of routes you could go there. I don't know any, there's like one or two quarterbacks that might be able to do something in this draft, but, nothing crazy. I think Trubisky might even get another look at, but I don't think Trubisky was a bad quarterback. I know you guys laugh at me when I say that one, but I mean, he had some good seasons with the Bears. Like, he wasn't... I think he was drafted in the wrong spot. I think if it was a second round, that people would have been like, okay, this is a good second round quarterback. But I what I'm trying to say. So there's going to be some people available. I don't know if it's enough, but I think they're a quarterback away from doing damage. I think the Detroit Lions are a quarterback away. Detroit Lions played some great games this year. Like, they look like an NFL football team. Like, they look like they literally were like a play or two away from having an opposite record. Now, I do think they're a little bit more than a quarterback away. I lied when I said that. I think the Broncos are more of a quarterback. If the Broncos got Russell Wilson, the Broncos are going into the playoffs, and they're going into the championship game. I think that they could fight. They're the second seed. I think, you know, right now you have to – they're right up there with New England and Kansas City and Tennessee. They're in the mix. Those four teams would be dynamite, would be like the juggernauts. Juggernauts of the AFC. Then you would have Cincinnati. Pittsburgh's always one of those teams that linger around. They're going to need a quarterback also. You know, you got the Bills. You got who else besides the Bills? Chargers. Whatever it's going to be. You know, whatever it is. But I mean, they would be the top four easily. I think now Detroit. They need a couple of more players. They need a full draft and you know, a good draft, maybe a signing or two, and a quarterback, and they're a playoff team. They're a playoff team. So if you asked me, I know I said the Chargers, and if you asked me, I think that the top teams in the NFL, if things work out for each team next year, like we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm getting out of hand here. But so the Jaguars are another team. So you got the Bears. I think the Bears are a pretty decent team. I think with a nice draft and signing a player or two, the Bears will be a decent team. I mean, they're not in a crazy division, if you per se. I mean, they have the Lions, Minnesota, and Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay gets older every day. You don't know what's going on Aaron Rodgers next year. There's a lot of, you know, whatever. And you don't know. They have a couple of free agents. They're an older team. Minnesota's a mess. They don't have a quarterback. I mean, they don't have a coach and a GM, and their quarterback is probably more at the hill heading down at the top of the hill than going up the hill or at the top of the hill still, stable. Detroit Lions are, you know, like I said, they're a couple, you know, is there a quarterback for them? Now, that's the thing, like would Watson go to the Detroit Lions over the Broncos? Would he go over the Dolphins? Would he go over New Orleans? Would Russell Wilson go to those guys over them? And then that means Seattle would be available for a quarterback. Would Winston go to Detroit? Maybe just to start. I mean, that's probably your best bet is Winston or Mariota, right? But is Goff that worse than Mariota? I think that Jameis Winston's better than him, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So it's going to be hard for Detroit to find that quarterback. I think Goff is going to be there for now, and they put all those other pieces, they do everything else they're supposed to, and they start winning, looking good. Maybe they can entice a certain quarterback to come over, you know, and help them out, you know. But right now, this is where they're at. I mean, even Washington, I would go to Washington over Detroit. So if you look at that division, Chicago's a nice place to land, right? Like, you got Chicago. You got... It looks like everybody in the NFC South is safe. And the West is safe. Excuse me. You got the Bears. I'm shocked that the Giants didn't fire their head coach. I'm shocked. Like, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, it's crazy that he's still here and their GM's going. Like, the way he coached that last game, he coached like he wanted to be fired. He did everything possible to get fired in the last 2 weeks. And they kept them. And that shows you what when you talk about the Jets and Giants, for any New York, I know a lot of New Yorkers listen to the show because of me, and I'm a Jet fan and stuff. The Jets are shooting up the hill, and the Giants are coming down. We have to move out of the way so they don't hit us on the way down because they're in trouble. And we'll get into that stuff later on too. But Washington has their coach. Philly has their coach. Cowboys have their coach, obviously. The Broncos, again, the Broncos are probably number... That and the Dolphins are the top. And then I would say the Bears. I mean, Las Vegas, I'm seeing that they're putting Las Vegas in it as a coaching availability job there. Why, if you're Las Vegas, why would you do that? There was so much distraction and so many problems with the Raiders, and they weren't even like, and they still made the playoffs. They won four games in a row. Four games in a row, they won. So did Kansas City and Tennessee and the Bills and the Dolphins. Those are the teams that won four games in a row. And if you go to the other side, the Cowboys, the Eagles, well, not four games in a row. They were four. The teams that were 4-1 in their last five games. Ready? San Francisco, playoff team. Los Angeles Rams, playoff team and seeded. The Saints, the Buccaneers, Super Bowl bound, seeded. Green Bay, Eagles and Dallas, both playoff teams. Raiders, Chiefs, Tennessee, and that's it. Well, I'm sorry. Miami Dolphins and the Bills, okay? Those are the teams that went 4-1 in the last five games, and I'm counting Oakland in there. Look at the teams that I just mentioned, though. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine of the 11 teams that are 4-1, only one of them, which was the Dolphins and the Raiders, I didn't mention because I'm talking about the Raiders, went 4-1 in the last five. And they won four in a row when they're a playoff team. You know how many teams won four in a row? I'll name the teams that won four in a row. The Raiders, the Dolphins, the Raiders and the Bills are the only two teams that have won four in a row. The Raiders and the Bills. Both of them are in the playoffs. And you wanna hire a head coach? This guy knows the team. He's been around the team. Just keep him. You have your coach. If they win the first round of the playoffs and they don't keep him, they're just as bad as the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are stupid. The Giants are stupid. Those are two stupid teams. And Jacksonville. Imagine being a Jacksonville Jaguar fan right now. God. I'm so glad. You know, last year I heard all this crap about the Jets. Oh, why would Lawrence want to go? Thank God, Jacksonville. Okay. Yeah. Look at it now. I'm so glad I'm a Jet fan. I'll tell you the teams right now that I'd rather be a Jet fan over: the Dolphins, Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens. They've lost six in a row, no less. Houston, Jaguars, Giants. I would even pick the Eagles, even though they made the playoffs over the... and had a winning record. I just don't know what they're doing there. They scam me. I think Hurts is a really good quarterback, but I don't know. Minnesota, the Bears, the Lions, the Falcons, Carolina Panthers, Seattle. Those are the teams I'd rather be a Jet fan right now than be over. All right? And I'm not even... And you know, San Francisco's in a good space right now. Arizona Cardinals, they find ways not to win games. I mean, they've been 1-4 in their last five games. They luckily made the playoffs. They lost to Seattle, a team that they shouldn't have lost to. You know, they're not going anywhere, okay? The Rams are good, but they're built to win now. When Stafford goes there, what do the Rams have? Stafford's in his 30s. Like, I mean, he might be able to play another 2 or 3 years, but... I mean, he's getting older, and you could see he deteriorated at the second half of the season. I'm not really, you know, I mean, they're going to go eventually too. And then you look at the Saints. I'm not really, and actually the Saints too. I mean, Peyton's a great coach, but I mean, they don't have much going. I mean, they're gonna. I don't know the direction. I'm looking at the direction. And when I talk about the Jets, they're finally going in the right direction. And we're going to talk the next show about the Jets, Giants, and a couple of teams in more depth. I don't want to sit here and bore you guys. But the Jets are going in a different direction. That's north. A lot of teams are going south. Like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a great team. But in 3 years, this team's done. They're back to they might be at the bottom of this division. This division, too, the NFC North, is going to be the weakest division in baseball. I mean, in football. Once Tom Brady's gone, Gronk's gone, Donovan Sue is going to be gone. All those guys are going to be, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul is a free agent. He's old. They have a very old team. I actually think Godwin's gone. I think the Jets should get him, especially if he's healthy. Great wide receiver. I also like the guy Williams from the Cowboys. I think the Jets should try to get for wide receiver. We'll get into that in another show. But Tampa's done. They're going to be a last place team again. Carolina might be on a, if Donald could make it or they get somebody else, could be an upswing. I think Atlanta has some things that are pretty good. But they don't, they're going to lose their quarterback soon. So they're going to have to find something. And the Saints, we don't know what's going on with them. And they won 9 games, but I mean, like, you know, they've really coached well, but they don't know what's going on with their quarterback situation. I want to see where Jameis Winston goes. I want to see what happens with that. If he stays there, the Saints will be the best team in that division when Tampa falls apart because he's still young. Because Tampa's good with Brady. They was terrible before Brady. You know, the rest, look at Green Bay. Again, Aaron Rodgers goes, Love? Are you liking Love right now? They lost to the Detroit Lions because Love played. They're already seeded at that point, right? They won 4 in a row before they lost to Detroit. Detroit's played really good football, but they shouldn't have won the game. I mean, so when if Aaron Rodgers goes, that's the... It's terrible. It's done. You know how hard it is to find a quarterback? That's why Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback at 38 years old. That's why Tom Brady's still a quarterback at 40-something years old. Are you kidding me? Because it's so hard to find a quarterback. Look at the quarterbacks that are available next year. Ready? What is it? Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota? Like, are those the two best quarterbacks that are available on the market next year? Cam Newton? Like, that's what's available in free agency. Maybe Andy Dalton. I don't know, Dalton might be available. And who's available? Minshew? I don't even know who's available. Like, I wouldn't, like oh, White's available. Mike White's available from the Jets. Is that who you're going to put as a quarterback? Like, I mean, that's what's available. In the draft, name two a quarterback that's worthy that you, oh, yeah, we got him. Now, one of those guys might have, it happens every time, every year. You know, a guy third round, second round, it happens. But is that what you're banking on? We're going to pick a guy and he's going to become a Tom Brady? No, I mean, come on. So Green Bay, Minnesota, same situation. Their contract situations, their team, it's old. The Bears, in the middle of the pack, and they have Justin Fields. Detroit don't have a quarterback. I mean, Goff isn't that bad of a quarterback, but he's not winning you a Super Bowl quarterback. Even though you're young. The Giants, forget it. They're a mess. A mess. If they were smart, they'd call the Jets trade... You know, Barkley over for a third round pick and get one of the Jets' third round pick, and the Jets have another running back to go with Carter. I mean, just get rid of people. Like, start over. Get rid of people. Get rid of your coach. Get rid of your quarterback. Just start over. You're terrible. Washington, I think Washington's also a quarterback away. They're a nice draft and a quarterback away from making a run. Dallas is good. They're paying $1 billion for the players, but they're good. The Eagles, I think, have a quarterback. And they're an okay team. once the coaching staff puts it together, they'll be pretty good too. So those two teams, you know, Eagles and Washington and Dallas, those three teams, they're good. They're good to go. All right? And NFC North, after Brady goes and if the Saints can't find a quarterback, the Atlanta doesn't have a quarterback, really. Carolina, I mean, Donald would be like one of the best quarterbacks. They'll probably be the best quarterback in that division. And that's scary. That's scary. So that's not going to be a tough, you know. And like I said, the Rams have an old quarterback. Arizona, Kyle Murray is pretty good. But, I mean, is Kyle Murray on the same playing length as Barrow and Herbert and those guys? I don't think so. I don't think so. San Francisco, I like Trey Lance. They look pretty good with him. He's going to be better than Kyle Murray, I think. And stuff. And then Seattle has no backup quarterback. The backup quarterback got arrested for DUI the other day. Geno Smith. And Russell Wilson's going to go. Like, I don't care what people say about they don't want to trade him. I mean, it's what he wants at this point. And that's a done team. That team won 7 games anyway. They shouldn't even won the last game. But whatever. So that division's a little rocky. You got to think Dallas, after Rodgers goes, Dallas and Philadelphia and Washington are the top three teams in that league, in that division. Well, in that conference, let's put conference in the NFC. And then you look at the other side. Kansas City is straight. They have one of the best offenses in football, and that's it. You know, it's crazy. The defense ain't bad. The Raiders don't look bad. They have a good quarterback. I'll tell you, Carr throwing that ball around the other day against Herbert looked really good. And Herbert's good. The Los Angeles Chargers are going to be a good team, the record win, the Denver. That's a really tough division. That's the toughest division in football until after next year. And then it will be the Jets division. Tennessee, good team. Tannehill, you know, they have the best running back in football. I don't care what you say. The two best running backs in football are in that division. Taylor and Henry in the division. And then Houston, they played some okay games. 2-3 in their last 5. I mean, they played some okay games. I mean, they're thinking about firing their head coach, and the Giants are still thinking about firing their head coach. This guy was the man. You brought this guy in. You brought in England, whatever. I don't know, this other guy that, you know, the rabbi. He's not a rabbi. What was he? Spiritual guy, whatever he was, for the team, and pissed off Watson, and now you want to fire him? I mean, you just pissed off players and stuff, and now you're going to fire him. You gave him nothing this year. Nothing. Jacksonville's another dumpster team. Like, I mean, nobody wants to play in JV. Like, I'm sorry, Jacksonville. You are one of the worst cities in Florida. And I don't want to get so much backlash from this, but whatever. It's just, that's how it is, man. And your owner is lost. Like, he brung over Meyer. Meyer was a great... Everybody thought this was going to be the greatest thing ever. Tim Tebow didn't even make the team as the tight end. Like, stop. Stop with this. Lawrence didn't even look... If you were that elite... Everybody said Lawrence was an elite, remember? He was, since Andrew Luck, since this and that, he didn't put up elite numbers at all. He didn't even put up what Burrow did in a half a season. He didn't put up what Herbert did last year. He didn't do that. He didn't. He didn't put up what Burrow did. And was that a doorbell? What was that? Oh, that's like you're doing, like, you're trying new background stuff, like when I hit a point or when, like, I say something that's wrong, like a wah, 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 like something like that. All right, I guess that was pretty cool. Play it a little louder next time where it feeds in, so it sounds, I know we're getting the kinks out of this new studio, so, you know, I appreciate it, but yeah, I can't wait for all the things that you have planned, and I can't wait to decorate this studio, so when we go on YouTube and everything, it's going to be great. But anyway, back to that. Yeah, Burrow didn't have a good team. Cincinnati was one of those teams that are, right? Like, I mean, it wasn't like, hey, Cincinnati is a great team. So, Jacksonville, you know what? If you were that elite, how come Lawrence didn't do what he was, you know, like put up big numbers. It doesn't matter if you're that elite. Like Andrew Luck put up really good numbers his first year. A lot of guys put up really good numbers no matter what they have around them. Or you just see, like you see it. Like you're like, damn, this guy, if he gets one more wide receiver, his offensive line gets fixed, he's off the chain. And that's exactly what happened to Burrow. Look what he did. Ja'Marr Chase came over and all that stuff. It was great. It was great. You know, we're not taking questions right now, Rowan. We're down to our last two segments, right? So, yeah, so I think that I want to see more from Lawrence next year. And I don't even know if you're going to get it from Lawrence next year. I know he has you have the number one pick. Now, I don't even know what they would do with that number one pick, to be honest with you. Because, like, they need more. I mean, they're going to have a lot more picks, obviously. But would you trade that number one pick for, like, two number one picks? Like, would you call the Jets up and say, listen, you need an edge rusher. Give us your first two picks. We'll give you the number one pick. And you can get whatever edge rusher you want. If I was the Jets, I'd think about doing that. Because I think we could sign a couple of players, and I think we have enough draft picks to get the other ones. And if we get that edge rusher, we're really in it. But Jacksonville's not a team that I'm worried about. And I said Houston. And Indianapolis is, I don't really know what Indianapolis is doing. They have a really good running back. Their defense is pretty good. They have some offensive weapons. Their quarterback, Carson Wentz, he's okay. I mean, they're going to win a Super Bowl. They could play. They could squeeze out a Super Bowl if they can. Tennessee's a great team. Great running back, great wide receivers. Tannehill has control of the game when he's out there. Their defense isn't bad. Baltimore is lost. You know, they have a great quarterback, and that's about it. They're falling apart. Cleveland, this is another team that's in disarray. I don't know if they like their coach. I think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback. I think he could win a Super Bowl with the right people around and the right supporting cast. He was playing hurt most of the year this year. What are you going to get better? That's my question. Like, what are you going to get better? Like, tell me what's better than Baker Mayfield right now. Browns were, you were an irrelevant team before him. You were the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Detroit Lions. That's what you were before Baker Mayfield. So stop it. Stop acting like you could do better all of a sudden. Pittsburgh, what's going to happen with that team? They have no quarterback. They're always a decent team, though. But, I mean, like, what's going to happen? Like, I want to know what's going to happen. I think Baltimore's the elite team in that division. They're young. They're gelling together. They still have some draft picks. They could probably wheel in a free agent here and there because they're on their rise up. I like what I see over there for the Cincinnati Bengals. I really do. And, you know, everybody knows that I'm a Cincinnati Bengal guy. Like, I love the Jets. That's my team. But I always wanted to see the Cincinnati Bengals do well. I love their uniforms. I love the underdog. There's a couple of teams where I just have, like, a love for. And I don't know what to really say for. Like, I want them to do well as an organization. And they've been down in the dumps for so long. And then you look at the Jets division. Buffalo's a great team all around. They're like a top five on each side of the ball. They have stars on each side of the ball. New England Patriots, until Belichick goes, I don't know what the deal is with them. I think if anybody else coached that team would be in with the Jets in last place. Like, it's just weird. Like, I just don't know. The Dolphins had a great season. They're a good team. They had a great coach, and they let him go. Let him go. And the Jets are on the uprise. Man, this is a big offseason for the Jets. Big offseason. But the thing is, if you tell me that what job is the best, I don't know. Like, I think the Denver job is a job that I would look at and go quarterback away. I still think the Dolphins have some issues. And their owner is a little, you know, like, whatever, but I don't know. I think that's the second best job. But if you look at conferences, like look at the conference, the Jets were, Houston and Jacksonville was worse with the Jets. Then it was Denver, then it was Baltimore, then it was the Browns. And then it was the Chargers in the middle of the pack, then the Dolphins, then the Colts. But all those teams, Chargers, Dolphins, and Colts, were 9-8. And then the other 9-7 with a tie was Pittsburgh. So all those teams have bunched together. And if you want to add Cleveland, Baltimore in there at 8-9s, okay. And then you got the 10-7s, which is New England, Vegas, and the Bengals. And then you have the 11-6 Bills. And then you got the 2-12-5 teams, which was Tennessee and Kansas City. And Tennessee beating Kansas City and stuff like that. Put them as the number one seed, right? Great. Okay. Out of all those teams, I think Tennessee is going to be around a little longer. Kansas City will be around a little longer. Buffalo will be around a little longer. If the Bengals keep doing what they're doing, they'll be around a long time. And you got to look, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth team in the league is the Raiders. Why are they looking for a coach? I'm really shocked that they're looking for a coach, and the Giants are not looking for a coach. It's really, and that could still change, though. The Giants could, as I'm on the show, the Giants could, fire their head coach. And this is being recorded on a Tuesday. This is probably come out tomorrow, on Wednesday. We will be doing a lot more live shows going forward, but every now and then we do record in advance. So this might, the Giants might have fired their coach before you even hear this show. So, but I don't know. But you look at Jacksonville, and if Houston does fire, I still don't understand why Houston would fire their head coach. You tell me, well, what about the record, Frank? And yeah, I understand that. But like, they brung this guy in and said that he's going to be the man with the plan. And they pissed off their quarterback, and they pissed off a couple other people, and this wasn't the guy that the players wanted, and now you're gonna fire him after 1 year? You look silly. You look silly. And then if you look at the other side, Green Bay's number one, Tampa's number one. The top two teams on the other side in the NFC are old teams. Well, they're the reason why they're there because of old players. Tampa and Green Bay, after Aaron Rodgers goes, Green Bay is going to drop to at least the middle of the pack, and Tampa's going to drop to the bottom of the pack because they're going to lose like 5 or 6 guys, and this, we'll see what this coach is really made of at that point, because he has nobody. Dallas is a pretty good team. The Rams will be around a little bit longer. Arizona will be around a little longer, but they're more of, right where they are is what they are. San Francisco, same thing, right where they are, there are. Philly, I think, will get better. I think if New Orleans got a quarterback, they would be a good team, and they would win that division. Minnesota's going to fall because they're just going to get worse. Washington's going to jump up. I think that team with Philly's going to move up. And Seattle's going to drop. Atlanta's going to drop. Chicago's going to move up. Carolina is maybe a little better than what they are now. And the Giants are going to fall to the bottom next year. They might be the worst team in the NFC next year. And I think Detroit's going to move up to the middle of the pack until they get a quarterback. When they get a quarterback, they might be a little better than the middle of the pack. So the two teams that are really uprising, Washington and the Eagles and Dallas, are the three teams to look at. The Bears, they get the right head coach and a good draft and to sign a couple people. That's a team on the upswing too. So if you're looking at, if you're telling me about coaching, and Juan, is there a way to make my board not show all the messages that are coming in from callers and stuff like that? I don't want to hear that sound. I don't want the listeners to hear that sound. That's something we got to check before next show. Sorry about that, guys. This is one of those shows that, we're putting it together. But anyway, you fixed it? Beautiful. Look at that. Thank you. I think that the number one job is the Denver Broncos. Because like I said, I really only think they're a quarterback away. And whatever they draft in the draft will help them. I mean, if they sign a player or two, will help them. I think that then the next job is the Dolphins. But it's a close. It's a 1A and a 1B. I mean, I just don't like Stephen Ross. And I don't know. This guy Greer, I'm not really big on. I think he's a child for what he did. They had the coach. I would say third is the Bears. I like that Bears job. You have a quarterback that you could do something with. I like that Bears job. I do. I'm not going to put in the Raiders. I'm not going to add the Raiders to that. I think the Raiders should keep their coach, so I'm not going to add him in there. But if not, the Raiders are the number one job. Then the Broncos. But that's more like A, 1A, 1B, and 1C. Because the Broncos are a young team. They get a quarterback. They're better than the Raiders, I think. If they get like Russell Wilson, let's just say, the Broncos are better than the Raiders. Or if Carr went to the Broncos are better than the Raiders. The Raiders are a pretty good team, but I just think the Broncos are... I like both sides. I think, what was their stat one? Top four, top five, or top three offense and defense and the first time in the NFL for like 10, 15 years that they were top three or four or five, whatever it was, on both sides of the ball and had a losing record. They're a quarterback away. Now, the thing is why I'm saying that the Raiders are a number one job, because you're going to win today. If they do go for a coach and you get hired, you're going to win today. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to look good, hopefully. Where is the quarterback? If Russell Wilson really isn't going to get traded and they call his bluff, I really do think Russell Wilson's going to get traded. I think he's going to go out and say, I want to get traded. I want to get out of here. It was a disaster year. I want to get out of here. And, I mean, the Broncos, the Dolphins, those are two teams he's going to look at going to. I mean, look at the teams. Detroit, he's not going to go to Detroit. He's not going to go to the Giants. Carolina, I don't know if they have enough to trade for him. But that might be a destination. That might be one of those teams. I'll just put that over here just to get out of Seattle. And the Bears don't need him. The Falcons, I mean, that would be a destination if they're ready to eat Matt Ryan's contract or maybe trade him over there for two more years over to Seattle, whatever. But that would be an elite place for him to go. So that will go with the Carolina, like my maybes. Washington would be a place that I would go if I was him. That team is very close. They have a great coach. That's a winnable division, or at least a wild card division with Dallas there. And you're the second best team by far if you get Russell Wilson. All right, the Vikings, I stay away from that. They can't get him anyway. There's no money there. The Saints are a big team. So Washington would be my maybes. Those are my three maybes. But the Saints... absolutely. Absolutely. Because that team is a pretty good team. And with Russell Wilson, that team would have made the playoffs this year. All right. They were a win away from making the playoffs. They actually had the same record as the Eagles, and they made the playoffs. And the 49ers, they have Trey Lance. I don't think they'll go for it. Arizona has their quarterback, Los Angeles, Dallas, Tampa, and Green Bay, all their quarterback. Unless Green Bay says, hey, we're moving away from Aaron Rodgers, we'll take you, Russell Wilson. But I doubt that would happen. On the other side, Jacksonville don't need him. Houston does, but he's not going to Houston. Same thing with Detroit. I mean, Detroit could offer the world, but I don't think he'll go to Detroit. I would love to see Russell Wilson go to Detroit. And they get a couple, you know, they have a really good draft and sign a player or two. I would want to see what they would do with him, but it's not going to happen. So Houston, no. The Jets don't need him. Denver, yes. That's my second team. So Denver and the Saints... yes. Those are the yeses. I have my three maybes. The Baltimore has their quarterback. They don't need anybody else. They don't need another quarterback. They need other things. The Cleveland Browns, I mean, I like Baker Mayfield. He's younger. I think he reminds me of Russell Wilson. So I would say no, they're not going to do that. Chargers, definitely not. Now, this is one. The next three are intriguing. The Dolphins... I think Russell Wilson would fit the Dolphins beautifully. And whatever head coach comes in would love to have that. But I think Tua is this. If you put them next to each other, they're a quarterback. They're the same. I just think Russell Wilson is a little better and he's more seasoned, obviously. But I don't know. And the Dolphins have enough to get him and maybe throw him Tua in that trade. That might be the best trade partner they have because they could get Tua and two picks for him, two number ones. I think the Dolphins would do it. And they would sign a couple players, and then the rest of the draft, and the Dolphins would be ready to go with the right head coach. The Colts, I think it would be great in Indianapolis. So that's my third and fourth team. So I got my three, and then I got a Pittsburgh Steelers as my fifth team. That's my fifth team. Those are the five teams that you would look at Russell Wilson going to and being successful, and that he would think about going to, and then the other teams would just be those three maybes, like Carolina and... Carolina, Washington, and Atlanta. But those are the, so those three teams and those five, those eight are the only eight, the only teams that should be looking for Russell Wilson, because the other ones he won't go to. He won't go to Detroit. He's not going to go to Houston and stuff like that. The other ones have a shot. Hey man, come here. And he would be, let me think about that for a minute. Let me take a ride by the facility. Let me see what the deal is. Let me ask what the game plan is with these teams. That's what I'm saying. And then the five that he would just go with, he would just trade me to any of those five. He would say trade me to any of those five. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to stay at Green Bay Packer, and I think Devontae Adams is going to stay there as the wide receiver, and everybody's happy. So Green Bay will have another good year next year. They have two great running backs, so they'll be fine. But this offseason is going to be a fun offseason, and this playoffs is going to be a fun playoffs. This is really, really good stuff in the league, because even besides the Giants might be the worst team in the NFL next year. Them in Jacksonville. And then it'll probably be Houston. Those will be the three worst teams in the NFL next year. The Giants, Jacksonville, and Houston. Everybody else is going to be very competitive next year. Very competitive. And everybody's going to be like, well, you're a Jet homer. No, the Jets are right there. And you could ask any of the big dogs will tell you the Jets are right there. Are right there. And if you look at the full league, you know, Green Bay's number one. Tampa's number two, Dallas number three, Kansas City number four, Los Angeles number five, Tennessee number six. Number seven is Cardinals, Buffalo eight, Cincinnati nine, top 10 team. Los Angeles is 10. So you're telling me that you're looking for a head coach and you're a top 10 team in the NFL? I mean, come on, man. Like, just bring the guy back one more year, see what happens. See what happens. Why look for somebody else? But there's going to be a couple of coaches out there. I think the Giants just fire their head coach. I don't know what they're going to do. They might not. I mean, you know, they should. I Houston blows my mind because they stuck by this guy when all this crap was happening, and now all of a sudden you want to throw him under the bus. Maybe the trouble's not worth it. I don't know. So they might fire their head coach. Also, there's a lot of really good head coaches out there right now, and that's why they might want to do it. And I could see why they want to do it, you know, because this guy, you know, he looked terrible in the beginning of the season also. So, yeah, I could see why they want to do it. So they have those – but I think there's five openings. I cannot believe that the Raiders are going to think about – Las Vegas Raiders are going to think about replacing this guy. And now you could call me up and you could say anything you want. Hey, he won like six games. It was 6-6 and whatever it was. But this guy came into a circus at this point. He had to fix things, get this team back on track, made the playoffs, 4-1 in his last five games, won four in a row, made the playoffs. Like, come on, man. And if he wins a playoff game, which I don't know what he will do, but if he wins a playoff game, why not? Why not bring him back? So you have those five definites. I think the Giants might swing in there for six, and then the other two are just wild cards. But no one else is going to fire anybody else. That's just Las Vegas, maybe dipping its feet in the water, and would be Houston again. And that's who wants to go to those teams right now? The Giants, Houston, and Jacksonville are a mess. But Jacksonville's only intriguing because they're so bad. They have a bunch of draft picks, and they have Lawrence. But again, like I said, Lawrence didn't show me much. He didn't show me much, man. He didn't show me much. I'm not sold on that. I'm not sold on Lawrence, man. I really, like, I'm not saying he's going to be bad. But I don't know, man. I just feel like he was going to show you more than that. He had a great last game, but he didn't even look good against the Jets. Like, he got beat by Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson is going to be a great quarterback, and that's not me being a homer. There's a lot of things I like about the Jets. And we're going to talk more Jets, Giants, Detroit, and a couple of teams in the next show. And hopefully we're talking about baseball signings and things like that in the next show, or wrapping up baseball and stuff like that. We're going to talk playoffs and things like that also. But if you look at the playoff picture right now, you got the Titans getting that bye. You know, moving on. Home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And the Chiefs are number two and all that stuff. I really like – this playoffs look pretty good. Playoffs look really, really good. I just I don't know. Like, I like the teams in the playoff. And the NFC, it's a little harder, I think, to pick the first round of the playoffs because of the tight. You know, I mean, to me, it's really hard. So you're going to have the Chiefs versus the Steelers. I think the Chiefs are going to win that. I really do. I don't think, you know, that's going to. I just think the Chiefs are going to win that. There's nothing you could say or do about that. The Chiefs are going to win that. And then you have the Bills versus the Patriots. That's a great game. That's a great game. Now, if you ask me, Frank, what kind of Super Bowl you want to see? There's like three different Super Bowls I want to see. But if the Patriots are going to a Super Bowl, I want to see them face against Tampa. I want to see what happens when those two guys clash. And I think that would sell a lot of tickets. And you could really brand that Super Bowl. That would be a really big Super Bowl for the NFL. But I would like to see that. I also wouldn't mind seeing the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Maybe Bengals-Rams. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Or Bengals-Cardinals, two teams that normally don't go to the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Raiders-Rams would be really good, too. L.A. versus Las Vegas. I mean, there's a couple of Super Bowls in there, but that would be the number one Super Bowl that I would look for. But the Bengals and Titans, I kind of want to go just because the Jets beat them, and it shows, hey, look what we beat, the Super Bowl teams. You know, Buccaneers go and against the Bengals or the Titans, and then the three teams that the Jets look the best against are in the Super Bowl. So and maybe like the Bengals win it. If I had to pick one team right now to win the Super Bowl and I would be really, really excited for and happy about the winning, it would definitely be the Bengals because they never win. They never win. And it would be really nice to see that. Like, it would be really nice. That's me. But I would like to see Brady beat Belichick. That would be my second pick. And I'm not a Brady fan. I just like Brady more than Belichick. So that Bills-Patriots, I kind of hate the Bills a little more now than I do the Patriots because Brady's not there. It's not two people I hate. It's one. So I kind of want the Patriots to win that game. So I'm leaning towards the Patriots. And then the Bengals-Raiders, I think the Bengals are going to beat the Raiders. But that's a winnable game for the Raiders. So if they win that game, the Raiders, you sign this head coach. If not, you could dip your feet in the water, but I still think they should keep their head coach. But I have the Bengals winning that. And then on the other side, it's a little easier for me. I think all the favorites, like the Packers, have the bye. So the Bengals, I mean, the Buccaneers are playing the Eagles. I'm an Eagle fan, but the Buccaneers are going to beat them. The Cowboys are playing the 49ers. I'm taking the Cowboys all day. The Rams, Arizona, I'm taking the Rams. And I said the Rams were going to go to the Super Bowl this year, so definitely taking them. So that would be the first round. And I guess the second round, the Packers would end up playing the Rams and then the Buccaneers-Cowboys. And those are two great games. The Packers versus the Rams and the Buccaneers versus the Cowboys. Woo! That's a great game. And then you have the Titans versus the Bengals and the Chiefs versus Titans versus the Patriots, Chiefs versus the Bengals. Great matchups there. That second round, if it goes that way, are really good matchups. And any one of those teams go to Super Bowl. I know people are probably thinking that the Bengals have the least shot of going to the Super Bowl, but whatever. But that's how I feel. Next week's show, we're going to talk more in depth on teams and draft positions and maybe what I think some draft picks should be and all that stuff after the first two guys. Trades that can happen during the draft that would really upgrade some teams. And I will talk a little bit about, playoffs, obviously, we'll talk about. And what's going forward, and maybe coaching signings, and dissect that. And then we'll talk a little more baseball to see where we're at. And hopefully there's a lot of players being signed, and this is all over with. So we have another great show lined up next week. I want to thank everybody for joining me now. We're back on the radio. Again, the audio will be a lot better either next week, definitely the week after. Man, is when they get these mics put in the studio that are better than these, the ones that break out the echo, and they cover up this air-conditioned duct, because remember, we are in a new studio. And the bells and whistles that Juan's playing with in the back, you won't hear as much. And we'll put it together for you. Maybe we'll have a giveaway also next week, just to get a little spirits up for the new year. But Thank you for joining me. Again, I'm Frank Conti. I'm your host. This is Conti Unplugged. And for me, Juan, take care. Brush your hair. Peace. I'm out of here.